Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host for The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you every Thursday from 7 into 8, and here we are at 7 o'clock, and we talk to you about your business, the needs of a business, from leadership to finance to managing money, project management, entrepreneurship. We talk about all the things that are important to make your business be better with or without a pandemic. And what one of the things that we do is we always have a guest. A guest has some specific expertise and experience that they would like to share with you. And these are things that you will find very valuable. And we encourage you to actually engage our guest. And the phone number, if you'd like to call in, our phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And as you know, I never take this journey alone. And I have my co-host, and she and I, as we always do, will interview our guest, Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hello, Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design, and tonight's guest is a very special and dear friend to me, and I'm going to let him actually tell you about himself, but he's one amazing human being, and his name is Devin Coca, and he's Devin Coca of the Coca Group. So thank you, Devin, for being our guest tonight, and if you could tell everybody a little bit about you. Oh, my God, we love having you. So, yeah, tell everybody who you are, what the Coca Group is, what you're all about, all your charities, all everything. Don't hold that.
Absolutely. Devin Coca, CEO of the Coca Group. We are construction managers, general contractors, real estate developers. Based on Long Island, 47-year-old company. If it builds up vertically, we can do it. Super happy to be here with you guys.
A pleasure to have you.
Happy to have you. So one of the things, Devin, that you do is charities. You're on, I guess, some boards. And tell us a little bit about that, because I know you're passionate about that as much as I am.
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in giving back to the community. I always say I was born blessed. I have a great family, great friends. I have good health. But not everybody has always dealt with those cards. And so you got to give back to your community. So I recently, a few years back, joined the board of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Wonderful organization. Mm-hmm. Doing incredible things. Has incredible volunteers, and we're here to fight blood cancer, and I think we're doing a tremendous job, but super, super proud of being a part of that organization. I know, Lori, you just ran for Woman of the Year and did a tremendous job, and I commend you for that.
Thank you. So, yeah, it was a cause very important to me. So, and I appreciated the nomination as well. So you're also on the board of LIBBY, which is the Long Island Builders.
Yes, Long Island Builders Institute, another great organization, the largest group of contractors and developers in the Long Island region, doing incredible things, working with local government, working up in Albany, and really supporting each other to make Long Island a better place. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization, also filled with amazing people.
And also the Next Generation Committee for the Long Island Real Estate Group. We can go down this roster, so let's just have some fun.
Yeah, LIREG. LIREG is awesome. Great people. started by David Einbinder, who is just a wonderful human being, has amazing leadership. We actually did an awesome event recently where we went on a sailing regatta in Oyster Bay. So not your typical, you know, networking get-together, but really bonded with people. It was awesome. It was a beautiful day and a magnificent group in LIREG.
Very cool. A lot of fun. And then in your spare time, you run the company.
In my spare time, I run the company. I don't know how I do it,
right,
but somehow I do.
You do, and you do a great job of it. And just so people get an idea, Devin, I don't know if you want to share this. Do you want to tell people how old you are? Because right now, with all of this, I'm thinking, all right, he's like 60, 50, you know, 8. But that's not quite the case.
32 years old. The young age of 32. It's, listen, it's been good. I'm still a lot of times the youngest person in the room. Never intimidated me. When I took over the family business, I was, 26 years old. So I'm used to it by now.
So what do you think makes you successful at running the company? Like, if you were to say some of the characteristics or some of the things that get you past that point, past that door.
I would say I pride myself on really doing the right thing. And it sounds cliche, but the reality is, like, sometimes the construction industry could be a dirty industry and people aren't doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came into the industry at the young age and I was a leader, you know, I always said, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing by my clients. I want to do the right thing by my employees. I want to do the right thing by my community. And it's hard work, you know. It's long days, long nights. You know, if being an entrepreneur and owning your own business was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not. And you have to enjoy the tough times because it's not going to be all, butterflies and rainbows, but you have to enjoy the tough times and always believe that today might be a bad one. Tomorrow's going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, I guess when you're overseeing your $130 million project, right, because those numbers are staggering, and that's when you go from the ground up, right, because that's not, you know, a small Long Island house that's selling for $499,000, not at those numbers. So when you do that, how many people do you usually put on a job? Are you usually dealing with, or how many teams, if that might be easier to come up with? And then how do you manage those people?
So we will look at a project going into and assess who we need to put on that job to make it a successful one. Some jobs, like a $130 million project, will have a lot more people. More laborers, senior project managers, project executives, superintendents, assistant superintendents, assistant project managers. But then you could build smaller stuff with maybe just a senior project manager and a super. So it really goes job by job. We don't self-perform any of the trades. So we sub out the carpenter, we sub out to the plumber, we sub out to the electrician, we sub out to the roofer, and we have amazing alliances with our subcontractors. It's super, super important to not just be cohesive internally, but be cohesive with the people we're subbing out work to, because at the end of the day, they're banging hammers, they're laying pipe, and they're representing the company every day. So it's important to be collaborative, communicate often. We use a ton of technology. Ever since my father introduced computers in the early 80s, when nobody really was doing that in the early 80s, We've always tried to stay on the forefront of utilizing technology to better our efficiencies, to better our communications. It's a team effort all around. People need to be on board, and that's why we really focus on culture and having a great company culture. Without culture, you're dead in the water. You need it.
Right. And your company culture, obviously, teamwork. Are there five other adjectives that maybe...
Teamwork, integrity, getting shit done, you know. We're going to be hit with issues. We're going to be hit with problems. That's just normal in the industry. But let's figure out a way to get this done. Let's find the solution. Customer satisfaction. I mean, at the end of the day, without your customers, you have no business. And your best lead source is your referrals. So you got to have customer satisfaction. And trust me, there's been times where I've talked to a customer and I've looked them in the face and I've thought to myself, I hate you, but I smile and I give them what they want and I get the job done. And I might not work with that customer ever again, but that's okay, because at the end of the day, they might go tell somebody else how great we were. And that's all we want. We want happy customers.
Right.
So speaking of, I mean, the construction industry, I would say that that's probably one of, I mean, among restaurants and among the furniture industry, one of the hardest hit industries out there in terms of getting supplies and, you know, the multitude of things, right? Pricing going up and freight and et cetera. So how are you handling, you know, those obstacles?
It's been tough. There's no denying that there is a supply chain issue right now. There's no denying that the ports are completely backed up. And it's going to continue. Once the ports catch up, you know, the trucking industry is going to be backed up. And it's definitely been a ripple effect. We've seen, you know, lumber prices, as a lot of people have been talking about, 400% at one point. Luckily, it's come back down, and I think is in the 280% range. But it's not easy. Listen, we keep data, we analyze data, we try to stay ahead of the curve and keep in contact with our suppliers and our vendors. And it's not just pricing, it's lead time. You know, we got to know what alternatives we can bring to the table. If a certain material is spec'd out and we can't get that for 10 months, well, we're not going to slow down the job. We got to figure out the best way to get it done and figure out the next alternative solution. So it's staying in contact with people. It's managing expectations. I think it's so important when running a project. I always say that in order to be a good construction manager, a good builder, you need to do six things. You need to manage expectations. You need to manage information. You need to manage people while holding a schedule, holding a budget, and you do that by holding people accountable. But managing expectations, super, super important. People understand. Mm-hmm. People know that there's a huge supply chain issue. People know that prices are volatile right now. Don't make empty promises. Manage those expectations and best way you get through it.
I think we lost Devin.
I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Yep. So I think, you know, that's one of the things that I see in our industry is people saying, oh, yeah, you'll have it in like 6 to 8 weeks if it's a sofa. And, you know, I tell my customers, I'm like, look, at this point, I cannot promise you when you're going to get this. I can only promise you that I will stay on the job and see it through till the end. And if we have to make alternative choices, we're going to make alternative choices, but we're doing our best and we'll give you weekly or biweekly updates. And, you know, that's part of the managing of expectations. It's like you can't promise someone and then not deliver. So I think you're 100%. Yep, I think you're 100% accurate on that. Agreed. So now you also, before you took over the family business, had a host of other jobs that kind of helped you get to where you were. So what did you do before this?
It's funny. I never really wanted to get into the industry. My father, great person, love him dearly, but was always just yelling. And as a kid, I was just not something that I wanted to get into. I saw him yelling. I thought, oh, he's aggravated all the time. Not for me. When I was in college, you know, I was a business management major. Got myself into a little trouble. Ended up coming home from the University of Arizona and finishing my degree at New York Institute of Technology. And I got out of school and I asked my dad, "Hey, Dad, you know, can I get a job?" And he's like, "I thought you didn't want to work here." And I said, "Yeah, but I was talking to Tom, who was one of his project managers at the time, and Tom made me realize I don't have to manage like you." And he said, "You're right, and that's great, but no, you can't have a job. Go get a job somewhere else." So I actually, I had three jobs out of college all at once. I was working at one of the local municipality dumps, weighing in trucks. I was busing tables at one of the local steakhouses here on the island, and I was working for a moving and storage company, loading and unloading trailers as they came in. And I did that for, say, about a year and a half, 2 years, till I went to my father again and said, "Hey, Dad, can I get a job?" And he said, no, but this is what I'll do for you. I'll get you a job working for a subcontractor. So I ended up working for a carpenter of his, did that for another year, and went to my father one more time, asked him for a job, and he said, "Sure, I'll let you work on this project." You know, that was 2012 that I started working at Colca.
That's pretty awesome.
Very interesting. What was that? So, I mean, it sounds like your father sent you on a path of discipline, right? So you, like you said, you had a lot of fun in college and you had to come home. I don't know if that affected the way your father saw you, but it sounds like he wanted you to sort of find your own legs, right? Find your own way. And once he said yes, what was that like working with your dad?
You know, I had the, "All right, let's do this. I'm going to show you what I have" mentality. And it wasn't like put Devin in a position at the top right away. I was the low man on the totem pole at Colca. I was a laborer cleaning up job sites, running errands, whatever I had to do, I was earning my stripes. And he made sure that I literally learned the business from the ground up.
And you did, and it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. You know, it's a great thing. I still, to this day, will step onto a job site and see people that I was working next to at some point. And they brag on me a little bit right now because I might be in a suit or a collared shirt, but there is a respect there. There is a respect there. They know I was doing what they did.
Exactly, You earned your stripes, as you said, and you understand the business, so you're not just, as they call it, in the suits. They still call it the suits, right?
That's right.
So you're not just the guy in a suit. You earned your way up there. Do you know if your father did the same? Did he work his way up?
My father did. My father, he came out of college as an engineer. He got his PE license. He worked for aeronautical engineer for one day. was put at a drafting table with like 200 other drafters, and he said, this is not for me. He ended up getting a job working as a super for a company that's still around, and he approached his boss years later and said, hey, Mr. Marcus, I want to go start my own company. Mr. Marcus, being the stand-up guy that he is, said, no problem. I think that's a great idea. We're so swamped right now. Why don't you take these five leads that we have, give these people a call. My father called all five. He landed all five jobs, and
wow,
he's been off to the races ever since then. And,
great,
you know,
great.
That's just a testament to Mr. Marcus, and that is a, you know, it's a lesson to be learned that sometimes, you know, you're going to get a break, and there are people out there that are going to support you.
Exactly. So in addition to working from the bottom, did your father do you feel like your father educated, like you received an education from your father?
I don't know if I really received a construction education growing up as a kid. I think I learned what to do, and he was very tenacious. He was he never stopped. He was like the Energizer Bunny. He just went. I follow up with people all the time because my father taught me, you know, trust but verify, make that phone call. These days, everyone sends out an email or sends out a text and thinks they did their job. No, get that person on the phone, have a conversation with them. People need to hear you. People need to see you. You need to have that relationship. But he taught me a lot on, you know, how to work hard, how to do the right thing. He's somebody that was very honest. He was tough, but he was never, you know, dishonest. What he said, he truly felt, and he had no filter, but people respected it.
They always knew where he was coming from.
Absolutely.
Right. It sounds like you received quite an education and relationships. So whether it's with your employees or your clients or your vendors, it sounds like your father really taught you the value of relationships.
It's one of the most important things. Relationships are it's really the recipe to success in any aspect of life. You got to communicate. In your business, you have to communicate at home, you know, with your family, with your significant other. It's super important.
So speaking of communication, how did that go? Like, did you and your dad have like boundaries, like, hey, we won't talk about business after a certain hour, or, you know, if there are holiday gatherings, you know, family gatherings, we don't talk shop. I mean, what was that like?
So my father and I, we both love what we do. We were really bad at keeping boundaries or setting boundaries. I think some of my family, unfortunately, had to hear business talk at holiday gatherings, and they were quick to move the conversation. But we, it's 24/7. You know, it's all the time. It's always on your mind. We try to be conscious of not bringing it to the dinner table, but the reality is it happened often.
Okay. I mean, that must, your dad must have been proud that, like, you really embraced the business and you were able to discuss it with him at any time, any moment without feeling like, oh, Dad, give me a break. Like, you were right there in step with him. You must have been proud.
I was right there with him. I was right there with him, planning, thinking, solving. What's tomorrow going to bring? What are we doing next month? What are we doing next year? How are we going to handle this? You know, I'm the same way today, you know, and that's how he was his whole career. And I guess I watched that and learned that, and it's an obsession. I'm obsessed with my career. I'm obsessed with my business. I'm obsessed with the people that I work next to every single day. Like, I would do anything for them.
Okay. Laurie, I think you were going to ask another question, and I sort of jumped in there. I wanted to get in on that, you know, the family business. You were about to ask him a question?
I don't remember, was going to say that I know that how Devin describes himself is very true. You know, my experience, and I can obviously only speak from my point of view, and never put words in someone else's mouth, is, you know, the honesty, the feeling like your family or like Devin has an ability to make people feel special and like they're the only person in his world. And if you can imagine that from someone who has all of those, I guess, titles or responsibilities of charities and boards and members and chairman and all of these things, and then yet still has the time to get on the phone and say, how are you? You know, or that rapport.
Relationships,
that,
right.
You know, exactly. Right. You know, so to me, that's fascinating. To me, and, you know, obviously a great, you know, podcast guest, right? Because you're managing the business. Family, right? I mean, I can't even imagine like working with family, no less, you know, and taking over family business. So, but yet, you know, I do know my grandfather was able to do that and had that skill, was also in construction similarly. So it's just interesting. And then I wonder, Devin, because you tried to be so not like your dad in so many ways, and yet, you know, the better qualities that you did see, you did take with you, right? Follow up, what's important? Communication, that's important. Obviously, leaving the business home didn't follow through. as you say, you know, this is family dinners and conversation, et cetera. So I'm just wondering what other qualities you think you did take, because those are big.
I think I got the best qualities of all of the people that raised me. I think I got, you know, my father's work ethic and his business sense and his brains. He was extremely intelligent. My stepmother Harriet is the nurturing kind and was very caring for people and she was. You know, I really got that soft side of me through her and my mother. My mother is an amazing woman, and she works multiple jobs, and she does the right thing by people. And you know, she lives a simple life, but she knows she's blessed. You know, she has a positive outlook on life, and I think that I got my positivity from my mother. And it's actually sitting here on that podcast right now is the first time I realized that. I've always known that I've had such a positive outlook on life, even through the toughest times. And I got that from my mother. And it's one of my strongest qualities.
Right.
Interesting.
And I'm sure it gets to a lot of days when the industry is a little bit tougher than it needs to be.
It could always be worse. Every bad day can always be worse.
So true, Devin. Well said.
It's true. You know, I know every single day that the finish line is the finish line. I manifest it. I dream it. I believe it. I know it. It's a matter of what's going to happen in between. And you enjoy the good times. And you deal with the bad times, and you keep your head down, and you keep grinding.
Right.
So, do you mind talking a little bit about... Say that again.
No, go ahead, Ted.
Okay. Devin, do you mind talking a little bit about what your father set the company up to do? Like, you know, I heard you say you build things vertically, but can you tell people exactly what your company does, what you build, and then talk about some of the things that you're initiating, that, like, an example of how you're taking the company to its next level?
Absolutely. So when my father started the company, he was really an industrial builder. He built probably more than half of the Hauppauge Industrial Park. Back then, it was a lot of manufacturing. But then he quickly moved to other building types, hotels, multifamily apartment complexes, restaurants, catering halls, community facilities, churches, synagogues, office interiors, you know, retail fit outs. We've really done everything to this point. And when I took over the company in 2016, we were Kulka Construction. That's what we were known for. I quickly rebranded the company for several reasons. One, I had a vision for where I wanted to bring the company, and I'll get into that, but I also wanted to let people know that there was a Devin Kulka. You know, I took over the company overnight when my father, unfortunately, had a stroke. And luckily, God bless, he was able to recover months later. But for 8 months, you know, where was Jack? No, everybody relied on Jack. Nobody knew who Devin Kulka was. And so I had to get myself out there and meet people and show people who I am. And it was a lot, but I rebranded the company to let people see that we have a lot of life left in the company. We have another 40 plus years in the company, and we're not just Kulka Construction anymore. We're going to be the Kulka Group, and we're going to build for others. And we're also going to build for ourselves, and we've been doing some real estate developments in the multifamily sector recently. That's really exciting. We have a small commercial brokerage arm in the office, and we find properties for close clients of ours. We do property management as well within the company right now. And so we moved away from just being just a construction company to really a, you know, full service real estate consortium.
Interesting. And how does your father feel about that?
He loves it. He tells me all the time how proud he is of me. He tells me how great he thinks I'm doing. You know, he now goes around. I used to go around and meet people, and they'd say, "Oh, you're Jack's son. You're Jack's son. Oh, you're Jack Kulka's son." Now he'll talk to people, and it'll be, "Oh, you're Devin's father. You're Devin's father." And he gets a kick
wow.
out of it. He does.
That's all right. That's pretty good. Talk about
that
transition.
Right, we call that feedback.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take you back now. Your title is My Dad.
Right, he's lost his name. Right, he's your son now. I mean, he's your father. He's not even Jack anymore. He's just Devin's father,
right.
Devin's dad.
That's great.
That's pretty good. And so I know you know, 2016 is not long ago, and you've done a great job in pushing into development. You said your father sort of dabbled in that, like, there was really no commitment to that. You sounds like you have a commitment. So you're not throwing away the other things. You're just adding something, correct?
we're just adding a service. You know, our bread and butter is still construction management and general contracting, but we understand the development process. We've been doing it for clients of ours and helping them through pre-development for so long. We have a ton of relationships with the right people, and so we wanted to utilize those key things to help us build for ourselves and own apartment buildings. That's what we've been focusing on recently. We're currently working on two projects, one of which is a 56 unit mixed income project, the other one being 180 unit market rate deal, and it's exciting. It really is.
Nice. And did you all build these 56 and 180 unit buildings?
So right now we have not broken ground on those two. We're still in the pre-con stage, and we're going through the approval process, but we'll be breaking ground in 2022.
Okay. So you're going to build them from the ground up and then manage them.
Build them from the ground up and manage them. Take it from, you know, a sketch on a piece of paper to a ground, a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Excellent. How does that change the company, and how does that affect your leadership style? Does that alter anything for you?
I don't know if it you know, we still, the construction division will always be strong, and we're always going to look to grow that division. It's what we've been doing for so long, and it's our strongest aspect. When it comes to the development side of things, we've added some key players to the team. Rob Menino is my COO, and he's been helping me push that initiative forward. Markella Verdi she's my, you know, operational utility girl that can do anything, and she's really grabbing the bull by the horn. But, you know, it's, at the end of the day, we got to keep our customers happy. So, you know, most of my focus is really still on executing construction projects. However, we've also partnered up with other developers to ensure, you know, success on these things. And we're working with some pretty incredible groups right now to bring these things to fruition. And, you know, I'm blessed to have been, you know, introduced to some incredible people and formed relationships where we can help each other.
Okay. So that, interesting. So will those other developers be part owners in what you build?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
The true sense of a joint ventureship where we've got a portion of the ownership and they've got a portion of the ownership.
So that's interesting. It sounds like it does change, you know, in addition to branding. So it's you as the CEO of a company, you have relationships with clients and vendors, and then there are people that you manage. So now you'll be managing relationships of equals, like you said, a JV, joint venture. Did your father do that at all?
My father, you know, when he did the developments that he worked on, he did have partners. It's important to choose partners wisely. Once you're partners with someone, you're pretty much married to them until you ever sell that building. So it's not something you jump in right away, but I like to think I'm a good judge of character, and, you know, the partners I have are incredible people, incredible businesses, and they have the same type of culture and drive and vision that we here have at Colca. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the groups, and it's great working with them. It really is.
Okay. With that, how does that affect your leadership? So, you know, as opposed to just managing vendors, clients, and leading employees, you now have a different kind of leadership in a JV. Can you talk a bit about that, or am I asking you something you haven't thought about as much?
You know what? I haven't consciously thought about it, but I guess I lead kind of the same way. You know, I respect people. I still hold people accountable. I'll speak up if I think we need to do something better. I would expect them to do the same of me if they thought, you know, me or my team had to do something better. But it's constant communication. It's constant pushing each other to be better. And it's leading by example, you know. All my partners know they can call me at 10 o'clock any day, 11 o'clock and p.m. in the night any day, and I'll
right.
take the call and let's talk about it. Let's get it done.
Well, you're sharing leadership now. Where, I mean, you. So you were thrown in the fire as a leader, right? Your father had the misfortune of a stroke, and you know clearly he's been leading this organization for some time, for decades. So. And even though, and I heard you say one of the project managers said you didn't have to lead like your dad, you don't have to yell, and you embraced that. But once you took over in 2016, you were really not sharing that leadership. You had the choice to lead the way you wanted. With the JV, you're really sharing leadership as well as accountability. Does that make things different for you?
I don't think so. And I say that because,
okay.
I say that because the groups that we're partners with are very intelligent people, very intelligent
right.
firms, and they're logical thinkers. I think that's
good.
Extremely important, where they can easily convince me something is right. And because I'm a logical thinker and they just made sense of it, but I could also do the same. And we haven't had a moment yet where there's just been one big disagreement that we can't get past. You know, you got to get past everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think the principles of the partners that I'm working with, I think they've been leaders to my employees, and I hope their employees have definitely seen the leadership in me and Rob and Markel and my team.
Okay, good. And I was going to ask you about the future of your organization, but I'll sort of hint at what I'm thinking. Do you think there's a possible merger between the JVs at some point, or are you going to remain separate?
I think we'll remain separate. I think that though there's a ton of synergy between the groups, we take it as a project by project basis. There's going to be certain
okay.
partners that are better for a specific project than others. You keep those people close to you, and you do the right thing by them, and you never burn a bridge. You might not be a partner on a deal for 10, 15 years, and then you might find the deal together and think, let's do this again. So, I don't know if we'll ever merge, but hey, you know what? I would never count anything out. You never know.
Okay.
And we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Very cool. Okay.
So
if
you were
going
to start a company – oh, sorry. Can I jump in?
No, go ahead.
Sorry, please.
So here's Fantasy Island, right? Now you're just – let's say you were going to start a whole new company – maybe something different. I mean, you and I joked earlier today, or I joked, right, in jest, about possibly just getting an ice cream truck and making life simple, and here we are with our ice cream truck. So if you were going to start a business, because, you know, we have business owners who really need some tips, what would be the five things that you would start with? Would you start with a business plan? Would you start at the end and say, well, this is how I want it, and then how do I get there and work backwards? So what would be your methodology?
I don't know if I can think of five off the top of my head, but I would definitely look at the business plan. Look at what resources you have. Both in relationships, money, you know, people. Look at all your resources. See what your strengths are and be true to yourself to really, you know. I know I'd never, you know, be an NBA star. I'm just not good at basketball. So, you know, I'm not going to tell myself that I could be the best basketball player in the world. It's not my thing. So be true to yourself. Secondly, I think, you know, part of your business plan is thinking of a potential exit strategy. I think people get into business all the time and they don't really think of what their exit could be. And that could be many things. That can be selling the company. That could be merging. That could be, you know, putting together a plan where if your kids want to get involved, they can get involved. I think it's super important to have that exit plan in place. And then, you know, what's going on in between? How do we get from, you know, starting to getting that exit plan? Sometimes it's, you know, private equity. A lot of companies really, you know, speed up their growth process when they can bring in, you know, private equity to help deliver more resources, to help hire better people, to help invest into the company. Biggest companies in the world, they all have private equity that is invested in them. So having relationships with banks, with, you know, high net worth individuals, private equity funds, et cetera, it can really drive the growth of a business quicker than you'd ever imagine.
I think these are great points. So now that we know exit strategy, what's your exit strategy? You retire at 42, no. You're living on an island, you and I are selling ice cream.
I wouldn't mind selling ice cream with you. That sounds like a good one. What is my exit strategy? You know, I would love to have kids one day. I'd love to put a plan in place where they can earn a leadership role in the company, as my father did with me. Not something I'm going to hand over. You know, I think that I'll have a board of directors, and that board of directors would be in charge of making the vote on, you know, who can run the company. I'd always love to retain ownership and allow my kids to retain an ownership, but just because they might be an owner in the company doesn't mean they deserve to run the company. So it's important for them to earn their stripes. And I wouldn't mind just sitting on a golf course somewhere beautiful, saying yes to deals, saying no to deals, and investing in, you know, other businesses and other people that are busting their ass to fulfill a dream. If I can help them fulfill that dream, I think I'd get a lot of pleasure of that. And then being able to come home to my beautiful wife, Danielle. And, you know, I think that's a perfect retirement for me.
Sounds like a really good retirement for, you know,
I mean, I don't see a floor in that one. Maybe the golf.
No.
So are there any lessons that you learned about being part of and running a family business that you could pass on to the listeners?
Lead by example. People say it all the time, but first one in, last one out. I wear a chip on my shoulder that I don't want anybody to ever think like I was that quote unquote silver spoon kid. So lead by example, and people will follow. They truly will. You work hard, you do the right thing, you treat people right, they will follow. I think that's important. It's there's no really secret sauce to success. It's out there. There's enough books out there for you to read. There's enough content out there for you to read or watch or listen to, such as, you know, podcasts like this. Educate yourself, work on yourself. It's the secret sauce is not a secret.
How do you work on yourself?
I go to the gym. I go to the gym 3 times a week. I meditate. I try to meditate daily. I don't always do it every day, but I think strengthening your mind is super important. I read. I enjoy reading. I'm reading the 5 a.m. Club right now, and I love it. I go floating, so I will sit in a salt deprivation tank for 90 minutes, and it's a deep sense of relaxation and shutting off and just detaching from the world. As obsessed as I am with business, I think it's super important for you to really just detach. And when I go floating, that helps. But I constantly try to educate myself. I listen. You know, I sit in rooms with people that are smarter than me and more experienced than me, and I listen. You know, I'm not somebody who needs to talk and lead the conversation all the time. I will when it's necessary, but I think it's super important to listen to people around me. That doesn't mean do exactly what they say, but try to understand their outlook on things. Try to see where they've done things right and where they've made mistakes so you don't make those mistakes.
Would you say that it's wise you could say for any business, but a lot of times you can have some nepotism in family-run businesses, and you know you only move people up who are, you know, blood-related. So would you, and I'm you know, sort of piggybacking on what you just said, people who are smarter than you. Do you think that's an important part of success, is not being afraid as a leader to hire people who are smarter than you?
I think you have to hire people that are smarter than you. I think that you need to, your job as a leader and an owner of a business is to hire people that are smarter than you, put them in the position and give them the tools to do their job very well and manage those people and inspire those people and find out what drives those people and feed them what drives them. That's my job as a leader, to get the best out of my people. You know, I can't do everything myself, and if I tried, I'm not going to scale my business. So you got to hire people that are better than you and smarter than you, and motivate them. Give them a vision. Let them believe in the vision. Let them buy into the vision. And, you know, that's how you grow a company.
Okay. I think that's a great way to grow the company.
Absolutely. So we're down to the last few minutes. So I have two questions. The second one is how people can contact you. The first one is, do you have any final words of wisdom for people?
Final words of wisdom. What do I got for the listeners? Positive in life. I think it's a powerful thing. I'm a big believer in positive energy. People feel that. People sense that. I think when you put positive into the universe, you're going to get it back. And that's not to say that you're not going to go through tough times, but I'm a big believer in staying positive and just looking at the positive side of things.
Very good. And if people want to get a hold of you for construction or development or anything else, how do they get a hold of you?
You could message me on LinkedIn, Devin Kolka. I'm sure you'll find me there. You can hit up our website, thekolkagroup.com, T-H-E-K-U-L-K-A, group.com. Check us out there. Hit up Lori. She'll give you my cell number. You can call me on my cell, too. But I'll take a call for anybody.
And that is true.
Okay.
Very true. Devin, I can't thank you enough for being amazing.
You guys are incredible. I really enjoyed this, and I hope the listeners enjoyed it. You guys do a great job with the show, and, keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very generous
and
kind. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Keep going,
Lori. So now go get some rest and have a great week.
Thank you. I'm going to go get some ice cream.
There you go.
Just buy the truck. Don't buy ice cream. Buy the whole truck.
Buy the truck.
That's right.
So,
hey, Devin, you've been great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next Thursday. Have a good night.
You got it. Have a great evening, everyone. Take care. Good night. Bye-bye.